This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with anyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not know or understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen. But you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, that it's able to teach and direct us. And we ask that tonight, as we work through your word together, that you will help us, Lord, to make a conscious decision to follow you. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. How many of you, from just the text that we read, can tell me as much as you possibly know about Nicodemus? Nicodemus, the guy we just read about with the horrible static interruption. He's a Pharisee, yes? He was tiny, okay, from the text that we've read. Cool, that's good. That's good. He doesn't understand the concept of being born again. He was searching, yes? He was doubtful, yes. Heard someone. He came in the night, he was nervous. You read my notes. You did read my notes. Yes, John? He knows a bit about biology. Did you read my notes? Did you guys read my notes? Hey? Bet you they did. All right, so from the text we would gather, he was a Pharisee. And Jesus even points to this. He was a learned man. Now, in order to be a Pharisee back in the day, you had to memorize 613 laws in the Old Testament. That's just to qualify to be this Pharisee, to be part of the elite. Now, it had a few perks. You got free food, free clothing. They kind of looked after you. Who would like that? Anybody out there? Free clothing, free food, free housing. You kind of get that in our country anyway, but you need to be of a certain group of people, a certain exclusive group of people. But he was part of the VIPs, the Blue Light Brigade. If he wanted to go to the airport, he didn't make a phone call, but in our modern-day context, he would make a phone call, and he would be escorted, or no, airlifted from his house to the airport, and then airlifted to wherever he wanted to go. That was Nicodemus and the clan. But in order to be part of that clan, you had to know 613 laws off by heart. A random guy up the street would go to you, didn't Moses say law number 572 is this? And I'm not going to quote that to you because I don't know what it is. But I'm not Nicodemus, and hopefully never will be. He was part of that secret clan. Now, how do you relate to Nicodemus? Well, you go, well, I don't know the 613 laws, so tick that box. I don't relate to him in that way at all. Nicodemus was the kind of guy who went to church every single day of his life. He didn't skip a Sunday. He attended Sunday school. He went to school. He went to varsity, to college. He gained more PhDs than what you and I could count ever. He was that kind of guy. He strived to live life well and reach the top of the ladder as soon as possible. How do we relate with him? Well, most of us over here, have you been to church? Just by raise of hand, yes. Well, you're here tonight. So you've been to church. You own a Bible. You've read it. Okay? And this question you don't need to really answer out loud by a show of hands. But you understand how to get into heaven. Nicodemus was that guy. He thought he knew how to get into heaven. And Jesus explains to him that he's got it wrong. Jesus throws this guy's apple cart over completely. Now imagine you've been in church for 10 years, or for some of us a bit longer than that. But you've been in church all your life. You think you've got this salvation, this going to heaven thing sorted. And here comes this guy and tells you you've got it all wrong. You kind of go, hang on, what's going on here? Are you sure? And Jesus tells this guy in a nutshell that yes, Nicodemus, you have attended church for ages. You think you're going to heaven, right? You've ticked all the boxes, right? Wrong. Nicodemus, a learned man, didn't understand what it means to be saved. The question for you and I tonight is, do we really understand it? Do we really understand salvation? Jesus explains it to us in verse 3. He says, you must be born again to see God's kingdom, to enter into God's kingdom. Nicodemus and so many of us will ask a question right there, but what do you mean? And Jesus, so kind, explained this to us from verse 5 through to 8. He explains the second birth to us in detail, but I just want to touch on the first birth quickly so we understand what that means. We're all here tonight and alive and well. So I think we all understand what the first birth means. We were born. If you missed that class, that biology class, I think John read my notes. If you missed that biology class back in the day, please go back to your biology teacher. Or mom and dad, I would not recommend you Google it because you might be shocked about the response. But we get it, right? We get how the first birth took place. You and I and Nicodemus were given this life to live this life. We were born. We attended school, some of us kicking and screaming. We attended church, some of us kicking and screaming. We attended varsity. We stopped kicking and screaming. We go to work and we hopefully have now completely stopped kicking and screaming. But we've worked really hard. We've enjoyed this life. We've gained a lot of life experience to the extent where we enjoy life's lack of perks. Like the DSTV, the internet. Yes, like just imagine young people without internet. It's bad. It's bad. They won't be able to live. But we still love them. But Jesus explains to Nicodemus, you have lived life. You have reached the top of the ladder. You don't understand the second birth. You get the first birth. You've lived it very well. And so in a very natural way, we relate to Nicodemus. We are all alive. We have lived this life well. The second birth, the being born again that Jesus speaks about, probably needs to be explained to us tonight in a bit finer detail. You see, the second birth is not in our hands at all. Our first birth is kind of in our parents' hands, and then it becomes our problem to live this life and live it well. But the second birth, you and I, just like Nicodemus, we try and reach it. We try and reach a relationship with God through good works and being a good person and climbing the spiritual ladder in church. We try and get close to God day in and day out. And what Jesus says in this text is, you know what? You can try as much as you like. But in order to be born again as something of the Spirit, it's not something of human nature. You and I cannot do anything to reconnect with God. It's all done by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. He tells Nicodemus, the only thing that you can do is to stop trying. The only thing that you can do is to surrender your life fully into God's hands. And in that moment, your second birth takes place. In that moment, God takes you, a human being, and reconnects you with Himself. But in order for that to take place, you and I need to die. In order for that second birth to take place, you and I need to die and surrender our lives completely unto God and unto His Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit that can lead you to an intimate relationship with God. It's only the Holy Spirit that can guide you into God's kingdom. And in order for you to get through that door, all you need to do is surrender. The Holy Spirit opens that door. The Holy Spirit guides you through. So being born again, that second birth is all about surrender. Surrendering your natural life, the life that you've been given right now. Surrendering it into God's hands. And then Jesus promises us this, that you will see the kingdom of heaven if you're born again. What is that? What is the kingdom of heaven? We, from a very young age, have been told that heaven is some place or something you go to when you die. But why would Jesus then say you must be born again now, Nicodemus, now? Not like when you die, naturally. But right now, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. What is that? What is the kingdom of God? Now, you've had a biology lesson, so you'll get a bit of a historical and social studies lesson at the same time. A kingdom is a place. It's a domain. So the word dim at the end is the domain part. And a kingdom is a place, is a person who reigns that domain. Pretty easy to understand. So if this lectern was mine, which it's not, but if it was mine, everything that happens on this lectern is in my control. So this lectern is my domain. This is my kingdom. So the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is the place in which God reigns. The only way you can experience the reign of God in your life is to allow the Holy Spirit to get you to a place where you can be born again. Where you can turn your life around from living life your way, doing things the natural way, climbing the natural ladder, trying to get to God naturally. The Israelites tried this. Millions, thousands of people have tried this, and they've failed horribly. They realize at the end of their life, it's a dead-end street. It's fine. We'll move on. Even John Lansdale laughed at that when I read the notes. They realize it's a dead-end street. They realize that they've tried everything in their lives. They've attended Sunday school, church services, the whole tutut, and they get to the end of their lives and they're like, where's God? I thought He was going to be here, like opening the doorway to heaven. And Jesus says, "Young Nicodemus, people at Durban North Baptist Church, you've missed the plot if you've tried to reach an intimate relationship with God in your own strength. Naturally, we cannot do it. We have to surrender our lives unto God, unto the Holy Spirit, and give Him our lives. And then your life becomes the kingdom of God." The moment you surrender your life to God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God becomes your life. Now for some of us, especially like teenagers, when you say to someone that age that you've got to surrender your life unto God, like give Him everything, they kind of get freaked out and go, "What does that mean?" And I use a soccer illustration or a rugby illustration for this. God gives us this life, the playing field. Within its boundaries, you can do what you want. You can sleep, you can walk, you can go to the loo, you cannot go to the loo. You can do what you want on life's playing field. And there are two laws that you need to abide by. And those who play sport go, "Only two?" Like in cricket, there are hundreds. In rugby, they evolve all the time. Soccer, there's only one, kick the ball. Kidding. In hockey, just hit the lady over the head and you can score a goal. I watched a few of you play and it's dangerous. Okay? But on life's playing field, God says there are two laws you've got to abide by. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love the others on the playing field like you love yourself. That's it. And on that playing field, God reigns. In this life, God will reign. If you die to self-trying and getting onto the playing field with your own efforts, you surrender unto God and God goes, "You're in the team. Come and play on my field. Field where you can do what you want, except two things. Just two things. Love me," God says, "with all you have, and love others like you love yourself." That is the kingdom of God. So at your workplace, at school, at varsity, while you're driving, preparing supper, do you live your life right now as if God reigns? The playing field that you're playing on, does that belong to God? And the quick way to find out is, do you abide by those two laws? And if not, the very first question Nicodemus asked, how can this be? How can I get onto God's team? And God says, well, you must be born again. You must turn your back on your way of doing things. Die to yourself. Surrender unto my way of doing things. Come play on my field. And you will experience a glimpse of heaven when you die naturally on earth right now. The question is, do you want that tonight? Do you want to live a life where you can experience the love of God intimately every single day in all that you do? Playing hockey, going to work, going to school. Do you want to experience a kind of a relationship with your Creator where you can just connect with Him at any given time? And go, hey, God, if I step over the halfway line right now, would I be able to go and score a goal? To bring it into normal language, Lord, if I engage in this relationship, will it help me all the way to the very end of my natural life? If I make this decision, would it give you glory and honor? Would it show the people around me that I love you more than anything else? Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come to give you life and life in all its fullness. Do you want to experience that kind of life? Surrender your natural life to a Holy Spirit. In that moment, you are born again. You're given a second chance at this earthly life to live it in such a way that it glorifies God. And you experience heaven on earth right now. Just a glimpse of the good things to come. Do you want it? Do you want that kind of relationship with God? I would like you all to close your eyes as we answer that question in a prayer.